Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Chief Executive Podcast. I'm Mark Thompson. I have the privilege of working with extraordinary leaders who become CEOs, who transform their organizations each and every day.
And every once in a while, we run across one who's just been thrown in from a foreign country, from another planet, basically, to run a company and to be able to not only learn the language, learn the culture, but transform the place. So this guy, Jensen Huang, is a unicorn today, a billionaire who's created a company that does the best, most sophisticated video chips, semiconductors in the world. And he describes his experience of having been accidentally sent to America, to Kentucky, to a reform school. It was supposed to be a private school. Well, it was, but it was for juvenile delinquents. And he was sent there by his Chinese parents, really the first Chinese immigrant ever to arrive at the place. And he describes, Jensen Huang, an introvert, describes his experience as being one where it built his character and has really helped him differentiate the way he shows up with confidence.
NVIDIA's natural focus and where the epicenter of, if you will, of our innovation is around digital media. 3D graphics is the most heavyweight and most computationally taxing version of digital media. If I consider all of these digital media, 3D graphics is the only one that is synthesized in real time. Audio was pre-recorded, movies were pre-recorded, images were taken from a camera. When a consumer interacts with these other forms of digital media,
there's no longer a latency.
You're really just displaying it. The next decade is clear now that all content is moving digital, whether it's the music industry is going digital and the implications are pretty significant. The movie industry is going digital. Broadcast industry is starting to go digital. Digital cable, HDTV broadcast. When all of this media becomes digital and it needs to be stored and shared and processed and streamed, those types of applications are very consistent with the type of areas that NVIDIA is very good at. And so what NVIDIA is really focused on are the marketplaces where digital media is very important. The PC industry. The personal computer is clearly becoming a digital media platform. The consumer electronics industry, clearly moving very, very rapidly towards digital media. Handheld devices, you and I were just looking at yours. We fully expect your handheld device today to be a digital camera, tomorrow, very, very quickly, to be a television. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to dial a number, CNBC comes up, and you watch television on your little handheld for a little while. The technology exists to do that. So your cell phone will be your personal camcorder that you'll have around. If you just want to clip a few moments of life, and if you would like to just pass a few moments playing a video game, the type of imagery you see in Toy Story will be available on your handheld. And going forward, I mean, we see some amazing things in the future. You know, if you extrapolate digital media processing to the next 20 years, for example, you'll start to see these devices that can achieve real-time computer vision of perfect clarity. Just think about that for a second. Imagine, suppose you were to type into Google today, you type in Jensen Huang, it'll probably tell you, you know, where I work or, you know, all the articles I'm in or maybe even my address. In 20 years, when you type in Jensen, you could ask, not what's Jensen's address, you could also ask, where is Jensen? When you're interacting with your computer, it will not only know that I'm sitting in front of it, it will know that it's me. So passwords go away. You don't need fingerprints. You'll have something even better than that.
Retinal scan?
Retinal scan, sure. And so my wife doesn't ask me for a fingerprint ID when I come home, right? Because she knows it's me. From the subtleties of my face, she knows it's me. Mm-hmm. Your computer will know from the subtleties of your face that it's you. So computer vision, I think, is going to have a pretty profound impact on computing, not this next 10 years, but the 10 years after that.
Even during the worst part of the downturn for the chip industry, you did not see the R&D budgets decline as much as you might have expected in the cycle. And now it's as if the growth in revenues is lifting all ships. How do you look at R&D from your company's perspective?
If you take a look at our industry, it's not a built for a customer industry. Our customers don't come to us and say, you know, Jensen, you know what would be really cool? If you built us a GPU that can render this and do that and it has these features.
You wish.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
typically what happens is we think within our own labs, with all of our invention and all of our scientists and all of our dreams and hopes, we create a specification of a product and a roadmap that would lead us to continued innovation. And we just do it with passion and commitment and belief.
The last few years, there's been an enormous amount of outsourcing and restructuring going on. Could you set that context in place in terms of where do you get innovation? Where are you doing the work? What can be kind of onshore? What's offshore? How do you look at cost structure?
The foundry business model is really the first step of globalization, if you will. The next step for many of the system companies is manufacturing that has now moved offshore. They've moved offshore to contract manufacturers. They've even moved design offshore. They call them original design manufacturers, ODMs. These ODMs are not just doing your manufacturing, but they're doing the basic design of your computer. They're then doing inventory management and manufacturing, and many of them will drop ship to wherever you need them to drop ship it to. So they've really taken all of the design, manufacturing, logistics out of your company, and what you can focus on is now brand creation, market creation, demand creation, and they fulfill almost everything else. That particular business model works best in industries that are more standardized, more commoditized, and has a more manufacturing component. If you take a look at our industry, we have to be concerned about those kind of things in the future as well.
There does seem to be a continuing gold rush for talent overseas and looking to the emerging markets for both the work to be done, the design work, but also as a consumer market. Could you talk a bit about where you're excited about hungry buyers for your services and your technology?
Well, the interesting thing is United States per capita is actually our smallest geography. Europe per capita is a far more successful part of the world for us. You know, our marketplace tends here in the United States tends to be rather bifurcated, if you will. Very, very low cost and cost conscious consumers, and then very high end and enthusiast consumers. Japan and Korea are huge, huge marketplaces for us. And the reason for that is they've always had a culture for video games. Korea is the land of video games today. You don't just play video games, you watch other people play video games on TV. So it's the only country that I know that actually broadcasts other people playing video games, and people would actually watch it.
Let's talk for a moment about how your parents sent you over to go to school at what ended up being kind of a reform school from Taiwan. Where did you get this sense of competitiveness? Did it happen as a child being kind of sent out on your own, or did that happen later in your life?
My older brother and I went to Kentucky, and it was a surprise for us. We were the first, I was 10, he was 11. We were the first two Chinese kids that had shown up there ever, and it was a small reform school, Oneida, Kentucky. I thought that experience drew me out probably more than any other singular event in my life. I had to socialize. I had to be more outgoing. I had to learn how to get along with a bunch of new strangers. I've always been very, very focused, and I've always expected a lot from myself. My personality, and for every time I say this, people are surprised by it. I tend to be an introvert, and it probably gave me more confidence. You know, you're 10 years old, you're living in a foreign country, and you don't see your parents for a year and a half, and you live in a dorm with a bunch of strangers. And so, you know, I think that was a great experience, actually. And another example of how adversity causes you to reach inside yourself and find something about yourself that you didn't realize. And as a result, develop some aspect of your character that has lasting benefits. I rarely get uptight about adversity. I'm hardly ever concerned about what I can or cannot do. I believe everything is possible if you set your mind to it. And I'm not as intimidated by people as I used to be. I still rather if you gave me the choice, be at home sitting next to my wife, sharing a glass of wine, being with the kids. If you gave me my choice, but I can handle myself outside. As a personality, I do think that successful people don't ever lose hope.
Fascinating. Because some find themselves unable to think under the pressure. Others are totally energized by it. You're one of the latter.
I think so, and I think NVIDIA is one of the latter. And you also see in athletic organizations, there are some people who just wants to take the last shot. You know, Michael Jordan, he would love to take the last shot all day long. Tiger Woods would love to win any tournament, but he savors the moment of going into the last round behind. And so I think that all athletes and all winners relishes adversity at some level because it's their opportunity to make a difference. If everything is going so well, if the economy is going so greatly, how do you distinguish yourself? And so, of course, we don't seek adversity, but I think all great organizations at some level are not afraid of adversity and sees adversity as an opportunity.
If you think about what your biggest risks are as an organization, now some CEOs think about that from a control standpoint. What do you think your biggest risk in this business is?
The biggest long-term challenge for the technology industry is a phenomenon called good enough. No amount of control, no amount of competitive advantage that I can seek, if fundamentally the customers don't want a GPU that can render the richness of graphics that we're talking about, there's no amount. High-tech semiconductors has this looming issue of commoditization, and it's driven by Moore's Law. The flip side of that, of course, and you asked the question very clearly earlier, is what are some of the killer apps? That is another way, it's a metaphor for saying, what's going to keep commoditization from happening? Mm-hmm. How are you going to continue to convince the consumers to keep buying up to the next generation in semiconductor technology, the next version of the Pentium, the next version of the GeForce? We're constantly looking for that. And certainly for us, it's a bit of a chicken and the egg. We believe, as an industry, that by building better technology, it will find new applications, it will spur new innovation, which creates the next killer app, which consumes the next great technology that we built.
Jensen, thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Chief Executive Podcast. I'm Mark Thompson, and please don't forget to like and subscribe for more episodes every week.